Hey there, everybody. It is August 31st, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken, and as always, you can drop us a line at thisshowisogay@aol.com. Scroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn about all the fun happenings with our little gay radio show. And go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we like you. We have a super fun show for you this week. And with that, we're going to welcome our first guest. Hey, first guest, are you ready?
Yes.
And you're awake?
I'm awake, yes.
Let me introduce you. Tucky Williams is the creator, writer, and lead actress of Girl, Girl Scene, the online smash hit TV drama series. She snagged her first female lead role at her first audition ever in the indie feature Shadows Light, but her breakthrough role came in the form of Vix, the hot zombie slayer, in Dead Moon Rising, a role that made her one of the hottest scream queens on screen and earned her not only a legion of devout horror fans, who, by the way, Tucky, have been emailing me all week, but a professional debut and acting background in the horror film genre. She's a yoga teacher, a meditator, a humanitarian, an activist, and in what I assume is a crowning achievement, this week's guest on This Show Is So Gay, Tucky Williams. Welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. That was quite the introduction.
You did all those things.
I did.
Do you want to reflect on them? How do you feel about just the accumulation? We're going to break them down, but how do you feel about the accumulation of those things?
Oh, well, honestly, I feel like I've overcome a lot.
There you go.
And I feel like I've worked for it. I feel like a lot of obstacles were put in my way. But then, on the other hand, so many great people have been in my life that
awesome.
I've gotten through it all.
Look at that. All right, well, let's start. Let's go back a spell. We'll go back a few years. Word is that you started at the University of Kentucky when you were, like, 12. Is that right?
At 15, but
so
yeah.
So close, yeah.
I might as well have been 12, maturity-wise.
Well, I was going to ask, because I am a college administrator. I'm a dean at a college, and I can't say that I get super excited when we get a 15-year-old, because I get nervous for them. What was the experience like for you as a 15-year-old in college?
I didn't have many friends, because I was very shy. Shyness has been an issue my entire life. It still is. I'm just pretending not to be shy right now. I was so shy.
Really?
So I stayed friends with my high school friends, and I'd see them on the weekends.
Okay. So
you got
through it just fine.
I got through it just fine. I sort of missed out on the socializing thing. But the good thing is I never went out drinking.
Nice.
I never joined a sorority. None of that negative stuff, but I wish there had been a little bit more fun.
I would like to take a time out right now and tell the sororities of America, please don't take a 15-year-old in your sorority. I don't think that they should be doing that, Tucky. I'm just saying.
At the time when they were rushing, I was like, oh, I wish I could do this. I was really depressed that I wasn't doing it, but I wasn't doing it, on principle. I didn't like, an organization. I didn't like the whole idea of leaving people out, so that's why I didn't do it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we've reconciled that, though. That's okay. We're okay with that now. And then you got a degree. You have many degrees. One of them is in earth sciences, and you, Tucky Williams, were an on-air broadcast meteorologist for the ABC affiliate station in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yes.
Tucky, I'm not even sure I know where to start with that. Except that, the weather. What's the weather like outside right now?
It's hot.
That's not what you did as an on-air meteorologist.
As an on-air meteorologist, let me tell you what the job is.
Yes.
You did meteorology stuff. That
okay.
part's fun and easy and a blast. Really, the job, now if you watch a meteorologist, is to speak continuously without stopping.
Okay.
That is the hardest part. Oh, nonstop talking.
Were you pointing like a Vanna White at the green screen?
Oh, yeah. I was really comfortable in front of the green screen. The camera shows a mirror image of what you're doing, so
yeah.
It's really easy. You sort of follow the clouds and the highs and the lows and
wow.
move it with your hands.
That's so fun. There needs to be a meteorologist on Girl, Girl Scene.
Well, there is.
Yeah, I know. I've watched it. I've been watching it all week. Now, was there some standout moment? I'm fascinated. By the way, I could just talk about the meteorologist thing the entire interview. We'll talk about other stuff, but I'm fascinated by this. Was there one standout weather event that you recall?
I remember the first day.
Okay.
Of course, I was very nervous, and I remember I was doing the weather, talking continuously, and I had that moment where I almost couldn't speak because I was so nervous. And, you have a million thoughts really fast in your head, and I was like, this is the turning point. I can either stop this right now and lead a normal life and not ever be stressed out again, or I can keep going. And I kept going.
Look at that. People needed the weather. They needed you.
I guess so.
No, they did. I'm fascinated. I want to be now an on-air broadcast meteorologist. I'm done with this show. I want to just be in front of a green screen pointing at the highest.
Do it. Do it.
All right. Life dreams.
It's gotten to be more stressful, though. They have people working around the clock. I mean, when I did it, it was just the morning show and the noon show.
Gotcha.
But now it's continuous. If you do the morning show, then you're doing updates all day, and then you do the noon show. And
were the morning show hosts as cheesy as we imagine them to be?
They were great. Yay. They really helped me, especially when I first got started. I learned the difference between a good morning host and a not-so-good morning host. And a good morning host just really keeps the conversation rolling and asks questions. But the ones who were not so good, they're just sort of like, "Hi, Tucky, how are you? You know, what's the weather like?" And then just, oh, dead. You can almost hear, you know, the silence, the room drop. And then, but it's really good to have camaraderie and chemistry, even where there isn't none. It's so wonderful when someone can fake it.
Are there videos somewhere of you doing the weather?
I don't know. My mom has a bunch of videos. This is before digital, so it's all on video cassette.
All right, we will convert them and start playing them on our website.
Okay.
Just want people to see that. I love the transition, and then I swear I'm done talking about the meteorologist bit.
Oh,
I just love the transition from when you're sitting at the desk to when you're at the green screen. It's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun transition.
What do you like about that?
I always just imagine you walking and talking, and it's just fun. It's that whole walking and chewing gum thing. It's impressive.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Talking is the job.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, and you try not to trip over the cords.
That
those
would be
really
bad.
Thick cords. Yeah.
But you never tripped.
No, because I was so focused.
There you go.
You know, I may have tripped once or twice.
Oh, no. In our revisionist history, you never tripped.
But you see, I'm proud of it because it kept going.
There
I
you
never
go.
Missed a beat. I kept talking. There'd be this bang.
But then I was
serious bang, and then I would keep going.
I was going to say, and then you transitioned to acting, but it doesn't even sound like it was this huge transition because you were performing as a meteorologist.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. what was the transition point of you saying, all right, I'm ready to do this acting thing full time?
I think I wanted to do the meteorology thing. I think I picked that because I wanted to do acting, and I thought that meteorology was the closest to acting I could come and make a living in Kentucky. And so I realized I could make horror movies here in Kentucky, and I knew where my heart was, and it was in acting and not in meteorology. Oh, you know, and it killed me because I felt like I really could have had a really good career with meteorology. You know, but like I said, my heart wasn't in it, and I knew what I was supposed to do.
And then, because we have, Tucky, we have people writing in all the time because we have just all of these amazing guests like you who want to do this thing and they do it. And we have people writing and saying, but I want to do this thing, but I can't transition to doing it. What would you say to them?
I would say, can I use the B word?
I'll probably edit it out, but go for it.
I would say, I have epilepsy. I had a grand mal seizure on the set and got up and kept going. I don't want to hear your problems.
There you go.
No, that sounds negative.
This motivational
speech. It's true.
Speech.
If you want to do it, you do it. I don't want to hear an excuse.
So folks can go out and buy the Tucky brand of motivational speeches.
That sounds terrible. Oh, my God. I sound so mean. I sound so terrible.
Tough Love Tucky coming to a theater near you. No, I think that's good. I think people do need a kick in the pants because there's a lot of excuses floating around. And quite frankly, let's just talk about that right now because I was going to go right into girl-girl scene. But let's talk about you certainly did have a good excuse to just stop doing this altogether.
Yeah, I dropped dead.
You dropped dead, Tucky.
I dropped dead,
It's
yeah.
not a metaphor.
Yeah, I've been alive for almost 2 years now.
Well, tell everyone what happened. I'm sure you've told this story so many times, but I would love to hear it.
I love to tell the story because
okay.
it's like the best story of your life, literally.
Go for it.
And I teach yoga, right? But I also teach other classes. I was teaching a weightlifting class, and I kind of felt sleepy that day. But who doesn't feel sleepy, you know, someday?
Yeah.
I felt sleepy, and all of a sudden, I got this really wonderful feeling.
Huh.
And a wonderful feeling. And then I don't remember anything. Okay. I woke up in an ambulance. There was a pulmonologist 5 feet away from me taking the class, and there was a nurse in there, and they kept me going. The pulmonologist, they were doing CPR on me.
Okay.
And I'm really grateful it was a pulmonologist because he did not break any ribs. That would have been terrible. That's they kept me going. Thing. I woke up in the ambulance. But then I had epilepsy, so I kept having seizures. I didn't drop dead anymore, but I would have them about every 3 months or so, or sometimes more frequently. And you know, they make those It Gets Better videos?
Right.
My It Gets Better would be to everyone who has epilepsy, is It Gets Better, because there were times where I could have had that pity party.
Yeah.
And said, oh my God. And, you know, sometimes I did. I'd call my mother and I'd say, I need to have a 5-minute pity party right now. I'd call her up, you know, and I'd cry and I'd talk about how unfair this was for it to just come out of nowhere and wreck my life. And then, you know, then it has to stop. I couldn't drive. Oh, that's so hard not to drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I got on the right medicine and I haven't had one.
And you're doing well.
I'm doing well. I still have little tiny ones in my head. Nobody can tell. The medicine stops it, though. I can feel it start to come, and then I can feel the medicine start to work. I'm so lucky, and I'm so grateful.
What do you think is the level of education these days about epilepsy?
There isn't any. And the main thing I want to say is that if someone has a seizure, do not put anything in their mouth. That's the first thing I want people to know, because that's what a lot of people believe. If someone has a seizure, the best thing you can do is put a pillow under their head or put their head in your lap and just make sure they don't hurt themselves. Yeah, but don't put anything in their mouth. I had a joke that if somebody, with my friends, that if you put something in my mouth, as soon as I wake up, it is going up your bum.
There you go. This life lesson is also, yes. This life lesson is on those inspirational tapes brought to you by Tucky.
Yes. And my friends knew it was true. They didn't question it. They knew it wasn't a joke. I really was going to do everything I could to get it up their bum. If
there
they
you go.
Dared to try. Yeah.
I'm a little scared of you. I'm not going to lie. But the fear translates into there's no way I'm ever going to put something in someone's mouth if they're having a seizure.
Good.
I have learned. So you're out there educating, and somewhere in the mix, you found time to just sit down and write girl scene.
Mm-hmm.
What you were just sitting one day, I imagine you were at a coffee shop and you said, I'm going to write this.
Yeah. Well, first off, the whole epilepsy, talking about it, it was just, I was doing interviews about girl scene, and they would say, is there anything else you want us to know? And I'd say, oh, I have epilepsy and I got over it and I want people to know that. And then it kind of spread. Like, so I didn't mean for that to happen.
That's okay. But we need the education.
Yeah, yeah. That took off on its own, and I'm really glad it did. But back to girl scene. I ended up on the set of this movie, and it turned out to be somewhat pornographic.
Okay.
Once I showed up.
Can we
stop
right there for a second? It turned out to be?
Yeah. They didn't tell me until I showed up, right?
Okay.
And then so they found out I wasn't down for that, and they weren't very nice. Oh, it was just a horrible experience. I got out of there after a day. But I was a little bit depressed about it. My friend Nick Brown, who's now the executive producer of the show, he said, Tucky, write a pilot for a TV show. So I was like, okay, whatever. And I did. I wrote it in about a week, and he read it, and he said, okay, let's make it. And he said, who do you want to have make it? And I said, Eric Butts. And Eric wanted to make it. It was that easy. But it was, like I said, there have been a lot of great people in my life. And Nick Brown has been one of them, because he said, go do this. And he helped me every step of the way.
I feel like you were drawing on a lot of stuff you knew when you wrote this in 1 week.
Oh, yeah. It's what I tell people is, it's my life that's based on my life. This stuff did not happen, but like very toned down versions of it did happen. But there are, those characters are mostly based on people I know in my real life, like the mother.
Right.
And there's a character named Maxine who is one of the kindest people I know, but you know, she's got this drug problem.
Did you check with people? Did you have to check with people and say, did you have to say mom?
No, I've changed enough. But my mother is furious
Oh.
She thinks, oh, no, no, she loves the character. She loves it, she laughs, and she says she's really glad that such a hot actress is playing her.
Yes.
But she actually believes that one of the fans is going to get mad enough that they're going to come after her.
Huh. That would be an interesting, that would be an interesting scenario if that happened. So
if she listens to this, can you tell her, my mother, that that is not going to happen?
Mrs. Williams, is it Mrs. Williams?
McCarty.
Mrs. McCarty.
She's a feminist. She kept her name.
Okay, and her first name?
Teresa. Teresa. Oh, wait, they're going to come after her now.
No, they're not. They're totally not. Teresa.
Okay, okay. McCarty.
Teresa is not going to happen. Everyone loves your character, and anything bad that happens with the character we know is something that you would never do. So we love you, Teresa. How is that?
Yes, and I love her very, very much.
She's been so supportive through all this, it sounds like.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the more sexual stuff I do on the show, she's just like, good for you. Of course she would rather I wasn't doing it, but she understands, and she's proud. She's proud of the show as a complete work.
Nice. Well, let's talk about some fan feedback. And so these are some choice quotes from the Facebook girl. No, these are such good things. I mean, you have to know, I'm sure you know, because I'm sure you get a ton of fan mail. People love this show. People love this show. And so some of the quotes, finally something original and funny. Thanks, guys. Another one, I have become addicted to this show. I love it. And then in one of the most, I think, in-depth film critiques out there, Tucky, you are absolutely gorgeous, just saying.
That is very in-depth.
Isn't it? I thought that that was a really, they were just drawing on different levels of analysis for that. But how do you, have you just gotten tons of feedback like this?
Yeah. Yes.
And how do you deal with that? I mean, I just, every time you get an email, I would be like, oh my God, look what I'm doing. Because you're putting out there something incredibly original.
Yeah. I do get a lot of email, but what matters to me is when teenage girls write to me and say that this show has made their life better.
Look at that.
And that kills me. I have to take a breath.
Yeah.
And I go, how do I handle this?
Right.
Oh, you know, they've come out because of the show. They've gotten a girlfriend because of the show.
Oh.
Yeah, they write to me and tell me, you're the reason I came out. You're the reason I have a girlfriend. And I'm just, oh my God.
I questioned my sexuality after watching the first episode. It almost turned me. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there. So,
thank you.
What do you think that you're doing? Like, what do you think that you're hitting on that other forms of media are not hitting on?
Brutal honesty.
There you go.
I'm not trying to sugarcoat this gay lifestyle at all. And see that? I just said something politically incorrect. I said gay lifestyle. Yeah, I'm saying gay lifestyle. I identify as gay. I say I'm gay. You know, you're supposed to say you're queer. I don't do that.
Okay.
I don't spell women with a Y.
We're going to get mad emails now. Thanks, Tucky.
Oh. It's okay if you do. But my point is, it's okay if you do that.
Right.
It's okay if you're so far left-wing and very politically correct. I love you. God bless you. And please keep doing that because we need people like you in the world.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to be like that, and I want those people to be okay with me not being like that.
Now, do you ever write, with the theme of brutal honesty, do you ever write things and say, okay, I just can't go that far?
I think that for a minute. I do, and then I think, oh God, the actors won't do this. And some of the scenes, when I read over them and I read the lines, they make me physically ill. I'm like, oh, there's no way. But people do it, and I do it, and it works out. It translates beautifully on screen. Some of the lines I have the most trouble with, I really just don't get, even though I'm writing it. I know that sounds weird. Even though I'm writing it, I don't get them. So I'll say, one of the most popular lines is, I did a teenage psychopath. And I had no idea how to deliver that line. And so I just said it. I just said completely flat. And now it's become one of the catchphrases for the show.
Look at that. Are there T-shirts with that line on it? There should be.
There should be.
We're working on the branding, Tucky.
Thank you. That's a good idea.
I'm here to help. We got the motivational tapes coming out. And now we got the T-shirts. All right. Well, we do have to talk about your song selections for this week's show. You ready?
Oh, Yeah.
Okay, Tucky, this is the part of the show where you tell our listening audience what some of your song selections say about Tucky Williams. It's a little self-analysis for our listening audience.
Okay.
You ready? All right, so one of your songs, and this is so fun, because we had Kiyomi McCloskey from Hunter Valentine on last week's show.
Oh, no.
So, what do you mean, oh, no? It was great. So you're one of the first selections for you, Treadmills of Love. What does Hunter Valentine's Treadmills of Love say about Tucky Williams?
What it says is that I may have a relationship with someone in the band.
Is that what it's... There's more. I feel there are more metaphors there.
That song, that's my favorite song of theirs.
Okay.
When I hear them play it, I don't know. I can feel it in my heart.
Oh.
I love them so much, and I particularly love one of them. And so that's the song, as soon as I hear it go, I get all those feelings.
Do you not want to say which one? Because we broke them down band member by band member.
Do you want to say which one?
You say which one.
You say it.
I'm not outing your relationship on this show is so gay.
Well, I don't want to out my relationship.
Maybe you could say the instrument that this...
Oh, yeah, the drums.
Yes.
Drums.
Do you know that on last week's show, we totally were ragging on her? We were saying that on every Behind the Music, it's always the drummer causing all the problems. And so we wanted the in-depth analysis. And so, and apparently,
that's not true.
Apparently, there was some wrestling going on with some other bands, and there was a bloody nose. And I'm just saying the drummer was in the mix. Anyway, let's move on to another song. What does Tegan and Sarah's On Directing say about Tucky Williams?
That's my favorite Sarah Quinn song. My favorite Tegan Quinn song is Hop a Plane, but I chose On Directing because there's that line in there, Go Steady With Me. And it takes you so far back to your teenage years, teenage angst and love. It says, Go Steady With Me in this very pleading, yearning way. And even when you're not a teenager, you still feel that. Okay. Aside from that, I think it's a perfect piece of pop music. And when I couldn't drive for a year because of my seizure, I had this wonderful friend, Camden, and he would drive me around, and I had the Saint Hood CD, and we would listen to it all the time, and that was my favorite song on that CD.
Nice. Look at that. Yeah. All right. See, you're already done with that segment. You did very well. We outed your relationship, and we got a little Tegan and Sarah action. It's a good thing.
Right.
It's the mark of a successful show.
Yes.
So now, where are we with Girl, Girl Scene? What episode are we on?
Episode 6 is about to come out.
And do you get it? How do you feel before it drops? Like, what is your kind of emotional arc of, all right, we're about to put this out there. Do you get nervous? Do you get excited? How does that play out for you?
I get so excited. I'm especially excited this time because the quality of the show visually and sound-wise has improved so much. It looks like a completely different show. It's Hollywood quality now.
Awesome.
I can't wait for people to see it. I can't wait for people to see episodes 7 and 8. I'm so excited and enthusiastic about this. It's dropping September 12th, and I cannot wait. That date cannot come soon enough.
Love it. Oh, God, I love your enthusiasm for this. How many episodes are we going for in the season?
8 in total.
And then you're going to take a break?
A little break.
Okay.
But, you know, for me, there are no breaks.
I feel like you're not good at breaks.
No. I'm glad I'm not.
All right. We're glad, too, because it gives us so much more to talk about. Where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things you're doing, including Girl, Girl Scene?
You can watch the show for free at girlgirlscene.com. That's girlgirlscene.com. You don't have to pay anything. You just have to press the play button, and there it is.
Love it. Love it. Tucky, look, as I mentioned, we've had people emailing all week, just so excited for you to be on the show. And the word that kept coming up over and over and over again was honesty. And so you are just putting out content to the world that is just striking a chord with so many people because it's resonating because it is honest. And it is so enormously appreciated. You're doing great work.
Oh, thank you.
You are doing great work. And we didn't even talk about Vix. We're going to have you back on the show another time to talk about Vix. Because I received 3 emails this week that I swear to you just had the subject line was Vix exclamation point, and there was basically nothing else in the email. And I'm like, look, I know, but do you have something? Do you have a question? Is there something you want to say? I got it. It's Vix. So you, my gosh, are people like Vix.
Yeah, I like her too.
Good, good. Tucky, you're going to keep doing what you're doing, right?
Hell yeah.
All right, you're going to keep educating, keep making just great content, putting it out there to the world, and keep being you. We love who you are.
Oh, thank you. I love who you are.
Well, thank you. And say hi to your mom. No one is going to stalk her.
I will. I will say hi to my mom, and I will tell her you said that.
All right. And you know, when we want to do a weather segment for the show, can we get you to come on again and
anytime.
Just do the weather? Awesome.
Anytime.
The weather.
I'll do a weather analysis.
Oh, that would be fantastic. The weather, the motivational speeches, and the t-shirts brought to you by Tucky Williams. Tucky, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
All the best.
Oh, you too.
Bye, Tucky.
Bye. Been blown to pieces. My life an empty thesis.
And we are back. Did you like that song?
It was a really good song.
Okay. We're going to move on from that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So much politics. Oh, Jody's here.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Sorry. Jody's here. We have a lot of politics to talk about this week.
Oh.
Politics. Mm. So now, can I get you to sign a pledge?
Perhaps. It depends on what it is.
Won't you just sign it?
No.
Okay. What about the anti-gay group's marriage pledge?
What does it say?
This is one of those things that all, not all, I shouldn't say all, Jody, it's not appropriate to lump in all the GOP candidates together into one category. There are nuances.
That's true.
Not all of them hate the gays, just most of them. So
yeah.
Texas Governor Rick Perry, who's in the race for the GOP nomination for president, he has signed the pledge. He signed the pledge to oppose marriage equality and appoint judges who respect the original meaning of the Constitution. The pledge also requires signers to agree to appoint a presidential commission to investigate harassment against those who oppose marriage equality. Look at that. I love that one.
Wow.
Officials at the National Organization for Marriage, or if you don't have time, NOM, said candidates who sign their pledge are taking a winning position, and that's a, quote, winning position, but others say it will hurt their efforts to win over independent voters. It kills me that they're not signing a pledge to provide more money for education,
right?
And they're not signing a pledge to get more homeless off the streets,
right?
And they're not signing a pledge to reduce the flooding in Brattleboro, which we'll talk about in a second.
Uh-huh.
But yes, they are signing a pledge, which is giving them a winning position. It's not even just the opposing marriage equality; it's the presidential commission. They're committing to a presidential commission to investigate harassment against those who oppose marriage equality.
I'm curious how many of them have actually been for real harassed.
Right.
Now, there may have been some who have been for real harassed, and then I would imagine a lot of them have just been hearing people be angry with them.
Well, the pledge actually says, I will quote from the language.
Mm-hmm.
It requires signers to agree to, quote, appoint a presidential commission to investigate real harassment.
For reals. Wow.
Yeah.
I also can't get over that their acronym is NOM.
NOM.
As in nom 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 nom.
I don't get it.
It's it,
I'm kidding. I get it. Okay. And we should pause right here. We're going to come back to the story in a second. We should pause right here and thank everybody so much for all the emails and Facebook posts and people who are expressing concern about our flooded little gay radio show. Yeah. What a year it has been.
It's been intense for a little Brattleboro.
Yes. And for our little gay radio show.
Yeah.
By association.
Yeah.
We had a fire which burned down our station.
Uh-huh.
Then there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
And then there was flooding.
Yeah.
And then Michelle Bachman.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with our show, but I just felt like she doesn't like us either.
No, she doesn't like us, and she could be considered a cataclysm.
Yes. She is a natural disaster. Mm-hmm. Except that if you've seen her makeup, it's not so natural.
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
She's an unnatural.
That was a little catty. I don't really do catty on the show. Hey, so going back to the other story, but thank you guys for expressing concern. Obviously, definitely. We are recording a new show, and I had that moment of like, oh, let me just put up a rainbow rewind, and what past show do I want to do? But no, we're in a position where even though one could argue it's been a little bit of a busy week here for Jody and I,
yeah.
Preparing a college that is perhaps cut off from the rest of the world.
A little bit.
Yeah, but yeah, it's important to get new gay content out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so going back to the pledge story, this is the poll of the week, and so the poll question, and as always, it says, Jody, which I always think it's weird it says your name.
It is weird.
Yeah, nom nom. Jody, in 2012, will anti-LGBT positions ultimately help or hurt Republican presidential candidates? And I will give you your choices.
Mm-hmm.
Choice number one, they will help draw social conservatives to the polls and could help them win. Choice number two, they will drive away moderate and independent voters, and that could hurt their chances. Or choice number three, I'm really tired and I'm not sure. It just says I'm not sure.
I see.
But I'm giving you the out because we're both tired.
Right. We are both tired.
But we're good.
Yeah, we are good. I am going to go with the optimistic.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that it's actually going to drive away the moderates and those folks.
Well, you and all of your granola eating lesbionic very happy friends are in the majority. 67.6% said they will drive away moderate and independent voters and that could hurt their chances. I, on the other hand, am with the other people, the 18.28% who said they will help draw social conservatives to the polls and that could help them win. I don't know. These people aren't idiots. Like, I don't think that Texas Governor Rick Perry is an idiot. I do not think that Michelle Bachman is an idiot. I don't think these people don't have advisors. They have advisors mm-hmm. with, I'm sure, really impressive credentials mm-hmm. who are telling them, sign this pledge mm-hmm. and it will help you. And I don't understand how they could be so wrong that they would do something so bold as to alienate a huge population, which mm-hmm. they are doing by signing this pledge, mm-hmm. and not thinking that that is going to help them win. I don't think that the National Organization for Marriage, which obviously has a lot of fundraising potential and they have a base that you can pander to, but at the same time, I don't think that they're saying, oh God, we got to get the National Organization for Marriage on their side because we can't win without them.
Right.
So they're being advised, or I could say maybe they don't have advisors, but I'm sure they do because I've watched The West Wing. Mm-hmm. And so they are being advised to do this, and I don't think they're idiots. So I don't know. I think that they do think it's going to help them win, and how could they be that wrong?
I think it's entirely feasible to be that wrong.
Okay.
I really do, but I also agree. I'm sure they have advisors, and I'm sure these advisors are advising them to do this. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of wrong-headed people out there that get paid a lot of money to do a lot of different things.
Did you just make a comment about your supervisor?
No.
Okay, I'm just saying.
You don't make a lot of money.
What? That's true. So then on the other side, there are people doing all their protests. And there's this new protest going on. I do not know if... I had not heard about this.
Okay.
The glitter protest. Have you heard about this?
Protesting glitter? Are people wearing glitter?
No, they're actually basically ambushing people and throwing glitter at them.
Ah.
I know. So I'm going to read a little bit. This is from The Times. You can see it all on YouTube. There is the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and his wife, Calista, signing copies of Rediscovering God in America at an event in Minneapolis. Suddenly, an attendee withdraws a Cheez-Its box with sparkly glitter and dumps it on the authors. Feel the rainbow, Newt, he says as he is hustled out of the room. Stop the hate. Stop the anti-gay politics. Welcome to, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. It's called Glitter Bombing, the latest act of political theater, you like theater, from the LGBT rights movement. The targets, not surprisingly, are individuals who activists feel are hostile or insensitive to gay marriage and similar issues. Glitter bombing.
That, I don't like it. No.
I know. It's not our show.
No.
That's not what we do.
No.
It's funny. I reached out to a potential guest and who I'm ready to announce next week, not this week. And he wrote about how he's been on these shows that just keep ambushing him.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, yeah, we don't do that.
Yeah, no.
It's just not what we do. I think people want us to do that more, but that's not what the show is about. We are a family-friendly, happy gay show.
Exactly.
And I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that. So glitter bombing.
Yeah.
Glitter bombing.
Yeah, not so into that.
Now, in North Carolina, have you been?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yeah, not for a while.
I was in Charleston. South Carolina. I've not been to North Carolina. Sorry, I had to put that together in my head. North Carolina Representative Paul Stamm, he likened gay marriage to incest and polygamy just today.
Oh.
North Carolina House Majority Leader. Oh, he's the House Majority Leader. I was worried that he was just, you know, not an important person there in North Carolina.
Right.
North Carolina House Majority Leader Paul Skip. And I put that in air quotes because we call him Skip, not just us. That's what people call him.
I see.
He likened gay marriage to incest and polygamy. He's 61 years old. He made his remarks during a noontime press conference on a proposed constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage in the state because that's what they have time for in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Lawmakers will return to Raleigh on September 12th to begin a special session on constitutional amendments, which will consider whether to send three issues to the ballot in 2012. So when asked by a reporter, I love covering these stories because it's so important to know that this is what people are saying, who are in huge positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
When asked by a reporter whether the amendment was, quote, a reach of government into the individual's lives, Stamm, Skip, answered, quote, well, 90% of all laws affect people's lives, so that's an argument without any content to it. We prohibit adult incest. We prohibit polygamy. What would be their answer to that? We're involved in people's lives. That's a slogan without analysis. What I'm saying is you cannot construct an argument for same-sex marriage that would not also justify philosophically the legalization of polygamy and adult incest. He later suggested he wasn't done. What you can't see right now, I've actually never seen you do that. Maybe I should turn around more often. Jody scrunching up her face.
Yeah.
I think muttering nom nom, which is weird. So he later suggested, because he was not done, that being gay was, of course, as Jody and I both know, a choice. So he said, quote, people can't change their race. They can't choose their race, and there was no biological basis for it to start, whereas people can choose their sexual orientation. And this is my favorite part of his quote, and I quote, I don't, you know, some do, some don't. That political analysis provided to you by Skip Stamm. Crazy. So I'm not so into that.
No, not at all.
What do you do? Do you move if that's your representative?
I don't, you know, I have friends who live in North Carolina.
You should tell them to move.
They,
oh, especially now that that whole deportation thing is off the table. I'm just kidding. North Carolina's a state.
Yes.
It's Minnesota indeed. That's not. So I know, but it's true. I did look it up after the show.
Uh-huh. And?
Not a state. Not a state.
Uh-huh.
I looked it up.
Not a state of... Where did you look it up?
What I
was
did
it
was...
Wikipedia?
It wasn't Wikipedia. Uh-huh. I actually... So this is my new way of looking things up.
Uh-huh.
I sit very quietly and I look inside myself for the answer.
Oh, I see.
And what I found is that Minnesota, we get big ratings in Minnesota and we enjoy all of our Minnesota listeners and again are so happy for them that they, if they have a clean criminal record, may not be deported. I'm just putting that out there.
You know, someday I'm going to take you out to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been.
Yeah.
And I did a presentation.
And you're going to see that something called a state seal and a flag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have fake IDs, Jody. So it's some guy in Minneapolis with a laminating machine who created a state seal. Love Minnesota. Wasn't I at St. Cloud State University? I did a presentation there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 State University.
Right. Well, state, not did state. It. Is it St. Cloud United State University?
No, it's State University because
right.
Minnesota is a state, just like UVM is the state college
right.
in Vermont.
Let me pause this gay show for a second. Mm-hmm. Jody, just because they call them a state doesn't mean they're one of the United States.
It's an ununited state?
I'm just saying they can't be deported, and I wish you'd be happier for them and your wife. I put it in quotes, wife. That's fun. All right, so now turning to Puerto Rico. You okay?
Yeah, fine.
Deep breath. Okay. Turning to Puerto Rico, I love this story. And by that, I mean it's slightly salacious and oh so ridiculous.
Okay.
A Puerto Rico lawmaker has resigned. Now, let's just start with this part of the story. He has resigned.
Okay. Resigned.
Now, If you were to resign your job,
right?
Don't.
I'm not planning
okay.
on it.
You would resign. I would assume why. Give me some reasons why you would resign.
Because I work in a hostile environment, because my supervisor
okay, excuse
is
me.
Not
this
good.
Is what you're leading with?
What?
You were supposed to be, I would resign because I did something wrong and I don't want to bring shame to the people.
No. I would resign because
we
I don't
need
like
to
where
work
I
on
am,
our script. No.
But I love it here.
Well, okay. A Puerto Rican, I can't believe that's what you started with. A lawmaker from Puerto Rico has resigned following reports that explicit photos of him. So he resigned.
Okay, he resigned.
Following
yes.
reports that explicit photos of him surfaced on Grindr. You have no idea what that is.
No.
It's a TV thing. It's not. I just figured I could go that route. Okay, no. It's an iPhone application for okay. gays and bisexuals.
Okay.
And it basically is like a GPS. I learned about this on the ride because it was, I'll tell you why in a second. That was actually okay. really funny. It's like a GPS for people in your area okay. who want to hook up with you.
Oh.
Okay. So that's okay. Grindr. And it was funny because there were people on the AIDS ride saying that, oh, I'm on Grindr. I can't find anyone. And the joke was that anybody else who was on Grindr was on the ride. Just yell out loud that that's what you're looking for. And you have a better shot than by going on Grindr in the
funny.
Middle of nowhere, Vermont. Okay. So his name is Senator Roberto Arango. And I'm sure I mangled his name. He's a Republican. And I say that because it's in the story, not because
yep.
I'm judging
yep,
all
yep,
Republicans.
Yep, yep.
He represents the capital of San Juan. I've been there and I enjoyed it immensely.
Nice.
One of my favorite places to go in this world.
Cool.
I had such a great time. For the island's governing party, he presented his letter of resignation after a weekend meeting. Pedro Julio Serrano, who's the founder of the gay rights group, Puerto Rico for Everyone, or PRI, I just like the acronym. He said that Arango voted in favor of Resolution 99, a proposal that would block any attempt to permit same-sex marriages in the U.S. territory. He also helped block a measure to ban sexual discrimination in the workplace and opposed adoption rights for gays. Okay, so yeah. I'm sorry. Should I, and I will pause here, should I not be deriving some perverse pleasure from the fact that a guy who has blocked legislation to give equality to gay people was caught on a gay site? I shouldn't derive pleasure from that. I don't derive pleasure from the pain. I derive pleasure from the hypocrisy and the just how you're, I need you to say something.
It makes me sad.
Oh, I'm incredibly sad.
It makes me sad. Yeah.
No, all right, I should. All right, let's clarify. I am extremely sad for the individual because this is clearly an individual who has a lot of demons.
Oh, definitely.
I derive pleasure out of a whole movement that has such hypocrisy within it.
Okay.
Not too much?
No,
okay. I feel bad for him. But now I'm going to even feel worse for him because this is the rest of the story. So then I found this other story. So he claims now that he's the victim in the gay sex scandal that forced him to resign over the weekend. In his resignation letter, tomorrow, he said his political enemies are to blame for his downfall. He said, quote, "I affirm with the utmost certainty that the controversy which Puerto Rico's Senate and the city capitol is currently facing is the result of a sinister maneuver orchestrated by my political enemies." Okay. So when this TV show presented him with a photograph of a naked man, which they said was him, he didn't exactly deny that he was the subject of the photograph. He said, quote, "You know, I've been losing weight. As I shed that weight, I've been taking pictures. I don't remember taking this particular picture, but I'm not going to say I didn't take it. I tell you if I remember taking the picture, but I don't. It would be my pleasure to tell you I'm the person in this photograph." Really? I don't think it would, but honestly, I don't remember. He said with a big smile. It's a little weird. When the reporter asked if he owned an iPhone, he said that he used an iPhone and a BlackBerry. In another photo, the man is perched on a bed. I'm skipping that part. Both photos allegedly came from the same Grindr account. Concerning the mobile hookup service for gay and bisexual men, he said, quote, "I've been a victim of my own ingenuity." I'm not pausing because I can't say ingenuity. I'm just pausing because it doesn't really make any sense. But no. "I've been a victim of my own ingenuity and of technological advances that, upon falling in the wrong hands, can be transformed into something very harmful." Here's the thing. Why resign? Am I not supposed to read a resignation as some sort of admission that, dude, you got caught?
Right. Yeah, but no... there wasn't any, like, nobody said, oh my God, you should resign. He just resigned.
He just resigned. Yeah. Because these things came up, like, they just came up recently. So this right. wasn't a whole Representative Wiener whose right. Twitter account accidentally malfunctioned, and they were pressuring him for weeks. Wasn't that, that right. was like weeks where they're like, you gotta weeks. Resign, you gotta resign. Yeah. So this took weeks. This happened, it seems like, a lot faster. I don't know. Let me tell you something. If stuff surfaces, if stuff, pictures of me surface on sites that either are not me or I didn't put them there, mm-hmm. I'm not resigning. I would like to display to people that you need to fight when something untruthful is being said about you. Not, oh, and he's not even, look, if there was a quote here that said, this is for the greater good of Puerto Rico and Puerto Rico can't function with me in this role, even though these are lies, I would mm-hmm. be having a different reaction. But he's not mm-hmm. even really saying that. He's blaming it on other people, which is fine. Say that this was a plot, these are sinister people, then don't resign.
Right.
Then fight and say, let me tell you something. If someone did this to him, mm-hmm. that's a horrible thing.
It is horrible.
It is a horrible thing.
Absolutely.
And I sincerely hope that that did not happen, just as I hope that he's not an anti-gay guy who posted Grindr pictures, you know. But I don't know. My inclination is to not resign. And I'm not in his position, and I don't have the same media scrutiny.
Right. I mean, there could be all sorts of things that he's not saying about why he's resigning. Like, he has a partner that he's kept hidden or something.
Jody just broke on this show So Gay that this guy has a partner. I didn't know that. I didn't even read that in the story.
But what if he did? What if he did? And yeah. he just didn't want, like, the two of them had a discussion and said, you know what? It's not worth it because we as a couple are going to get dragged into this and we don't want to do that. So
don't resign.
So, but just to be, you know, to be fair, this could be one of the reasons why. There might be a secret partner. You never know. But then again, why is he on Grindr? If he's got a partner, then
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he should resign. I just don't. I'm trying to think of reasons why I would discontinue the show. Reasons that I would come in next week and say, I'm really sorry. This is going to be the last podcast of This Show Is So Gay. I mean, even if I married a woman, which I should say right now, so not going to happen.
That's so not happening.
Yeah. Wait. How come you're saying that? You don't know. It could happen.
It's just not.
You don't know me.
I know what your schedule is.
Wait, what?
I know what your schedule is. So? You would have told me.
No. I disappear for hours on end. You don't know. I'm running down
but
to City Hall.
But you come back and tell me.
I do. Okay, so I don't like the idea that it's not even a possibility that I married a woman during my lunch break.
It's only not because you would have told me.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
All right, I would have. But that's not the point. I was totally fine by saying I'm not going to marry a woman until you said, no, of course not. And then it was too much. My mother listens.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So that could be even that reason. If I married a woman, I would still keep doing the show. It's okay.
Yeah.
What are other reasons?
I think if you had like terminal larynx cancer.
What the hell scenario did you just, you've given me a disease. You, the stuff that you've done to me in this show is beyond repair. I should take this opportunity to mention that I am looking for new co-hosts. Please email thisshowsogay@aol.com.
But I
My
haven't
God.
Given...
What else? What's the third reason?
If Michelle Bachmann came down and was cataclysmic at you and you were prevented, then...
Wait a second. Do you yes. think that if Michelle Bachmann showed up in Brattleboro, Vermont and told me, I really would like you to stop doing this show...
No. Like, if her cataclysmic makeup sort of, you know, gooped all over you or something.
This is the part where we pause the show to let you revel in that image of me gooped in Michelle Bachmann's makeup. All right. So, yeah, I can't think of reasons why I would resign the show. I don't know if you know this. I'm actually an elected representative.
You are.
So I'm trying to think of, like...
If there was an emergency, something that was going to take up months and months and months of your time...
Yeah.
Then...
But those are legitimate reasons, and I yeah. would present that. I just... Yeah. I don't know. If I asserted that a scandal about me was not true, right. I still wouldn't resign my position.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't know. Folks should write in about that. I'm not sure. Maybe because now I'm starting to think, well, but if I'm spending more time talking about the scandal than I am about town issues, then I'm not doing my duty as an elected representative. But at the same time, I would dig in my freaking heels and just say, look, I'm in a position of power, and I am in a position of power in Brattleboro.
In two places.
Yeah.
Actually.
And I want to show to you that you shouldn't back down, and we need to take a stand against this. But I'm not the guy who's in that position.
No.
Can you see from there this headline, which I'm not even going to really talk about?
I can.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
The headline is ad in El Paso Times, quote, gays are putrid. So the main newspaper in El Paso, Texas, it should be this show is so gay and putrid.
Right.
That's fun. The main newspaper.
It makes it sound like we're zombies.
Ooh. This show is so zombified and gay. The main newspaper in El Paso, Texas, published a full-page ad this past weekend from a right-wing priest who calls gays immoral, putrid, and depraved. I mean, I don't know. I actually like that this got press because it implies to me that it's so ridiculous that because this used to happen a lot more than now.
Oh, yeah.
And so now if you do it, you get press for it, and I'm okay with that. I mean, because – so what does that ad – I remember thinking this when I pulled this story of thinking I would ask you, what does that ad achieve?
I
would do it, by the way. I would post this ad just to garner LGBT support.
I think it makes it sound like those people should be writing for the Weekly World News.
Yeah.
But because of the type of headline, like gays are putrid, it really sounds like something that would be on the cover of Weekly World News.
But what do you think his ad does? So this guy's this preacher is what is he? What did I say he was? A preacher?
Yeah.
I call everyone a preacher. He is a right-wing priest.
Right-wing priest, yes.
Priests and preachers, that's similar, right?
Yeah.
I'm a gay Jew. So he is going to put this there, and he's thinking, I am going to rally people.
Who?
I don't even know.
I don't even know who. I mean, he would rally people who agree with him, but certainly not people. I mean, maybe there are some poor, poor, isolated souls out there who had been sort of scared that this may be true, and then they see this, and they're like, oh, it is true. I am putrid. I need help, which that's horrible.
Again, I think that he had advisors and was someone telling him this is totally going to help and get the message across, because the ad has things like, I should give his name too, the paid advertisement in the El Paso Times titled True Pastoral Care for Homosexuals. Love when it's couched in terms of helping. It's from Friar Michael Rodriguez of El Paso's San Juan Bautista Catholic Church. The virulently anti-gay and anti-choice Rodriguez first writes about showing compassion for gay people before explaining how gays are destructive sinners. Quote, engaging in depraved and unnatural sexual acts will lead directly to the ruin of both the homosexual's body and soul, not just their body, also their soul. Our very anatomy cries out against the lie that homosexual acts are okay. He closes his screed by saying that we live in a godless society that condones homosexuality. And I'll finish out his quote. I'm giving him airtime because I think it's so important that we know that these people are out there.
Yeah.
Quote, reflect first that there are A, individuals committing mortal sins of homosexual nature. Next, evil extends its tentacles to B, society as a, I'm not even understanding this now, to B, society as a whole, accepting homosexual and homosexual activity as normal. And finally, so he really does, I don't think he does have an advisor because this needs to be edited. And finally, iniquity's victory is all but sealed when C, laws are enacted which impose the putrid homosexual ideology on everyone, while those who rightfully resist it are ridiculed, attacked, and persecuted. I swear to you, that was one sentence.
Wow.
That was one sentence.
It's like those little booklets you get on the subway.
The ad claims that the statements don't reflect the views of the El Paso Times, a newspaper that reaches more than 108,000 people daily. A phone message that was left with the newspaper, not by us, but by other people reporting the story, were not returned. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He needs an editor.
He needs an editor.
He needs an editor.
Yeah.
There was one other story about how federal money helped pay for anti-gay marriage efforts in Iowa, so that's not good. So they announced I don't even understand how you came to work today and are not just sitting at home excited. They announced, as you well know, the new cast for Dancing with the Stars. I so admire your ability to keep your enthusiasm in check for something like this. Nothing. Have you even ever seen Dancing with the Stars?
I've seen ads for it.
Okay, that doesn't count. Have you ever seen Dante? It's season 13. What have you been doing?
Not watching TV.
Well, people are very, and by people I mean gay people and LGBT organizations, are extraordinarily excited because this season, I was going to say this year, but they do like two seasons a year because they're on season 13, and I think the show's only been on for like 5 years.
Yeah.
This season's cast includes Carson Kressley, who is from Queer Eye from the Straight Guy, and he's got his own show.
I did watch that show.
Yes. Oh, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
Did I ever tell you my Queer Eye story?
No.
I'll tell you that in a second.
Okay.
And now this is where people are not sure what to do with this, except we're sure what to do with it because it's fine. Chaz Bono.
Oh, wow.
Is going to be dancing with a woman, as naturally he would. He has transitioned. Yeah. Chaz Bono identifies as male, but people are like, oh, but he was born a woman, and so he should be dancing. Yeah, so that's ridiculous. But this is great. I mean, that's a pretty queer-friendly cast.
That's
and Ricky
great.
Lake is dancing. And Ricky Lake from Hairspray, the movie, and obviously her talk show.
Yep.
So and Chyna Phillips and Wilson Phillips. I mean, come on.
Oh,
I grew up on Wilson Phillips.
I remember them.
I really wanted to hold on for one more day. I'm still holding on
and I'm
for
really
one
glad
more
you
day.
Did.
Love Wilson Phillips. So my quick Queer Eye story was when Queer Eye, you remember, it was huge.
I know.
I totally remember. So big. And my dad, I was in college at the time, and my dad called and said, oh, I watched Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I said, oh, well, that's great, Dad. And he said, it was a little bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why was it too much for you? It's not really, it's fairly innocuous. And he said, oh, well, there was a lot of sex and it was a lot of drug use. And thank God they show it on Showtime. I said, yeah, no, you just watch Queer as Folk.
Yeah.
Don't do that again. Uncomfortable.
A very different show.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I love Queer as Folk. Anyway, all right, that actually brings us to the end.
Okay.
That was all our gay talk for the week. So you guys should drop us an email if you are from Minnesota or want to deport someone who is from Minnesota. Drop us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. And my gosh, is this the time to stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com? Because on the homepage, so as I was trapped here for all the flooding, I did a lot of booking for the show. So there are a lot of incredible, incredible guests coming up on the show that I shouldn't say even my family, because my family loves the show, but my family is also very excited for the show. So I can tell you that coming up on the show, just some of the guests coming up on September 14th, spiritual leader Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum, who is the spiritual leader of the CBST congregation in New York City, which is really one of the most progressive, one of the most incredible congregations. She's going to be on the show on October 12th. Husband and Husband comedy team, Dick and Dwayne, are going to be on the show. Tons of people are going to be on the show. So strolling over to This Show So Gay .com, and right there on the homepage you see folks that are coming up on the show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. Another wonderful show. Good seeing you down here.
Good to see you down here.
All right. So get out there, folks. Go do some incredible things. And remember, why be gay when you can be so gay.